Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hello and welcome to Carolla Classics for Saturday, May 7th, 2022. The show where we play highlights of the Adam Carolla Show's 13 plus years in the podcasting game. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name's Chris Loxamana. I'm the executive producer of the Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Happy Saturday, Chris, the producer, miracle worker of the Adam Carolla Show and the entire network.
It's been a fun week. Yeah, Dawson was out on a cruise. Gina's been out. Yeah, it's been a lot, but we got through it, and it actually was a really good week. I loved all the fill-ins for Gina while she was gone.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Jody Miller's great. The Dax and Adam from TMZ killed it, and all the guests were great too. So, look, it's been a solid week of the Carolla Show, and that's all I can ask for. All right, but let's get going to some older clips and replay some of our favorite memories. But before we do that, I want to remind everybody, if you want to submit a clip request to us, it's easy to get a hold of Gio or myself. Just email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. Let us know your favorite memory or what you want to hear from this show, and we'll play it on the classics. Or you can find us on Instagram, @GiovanniGiorgio or @ChrisLoxamana1. Let us know what you want to hear. This first clip, we're going to go back to 2014 when Asa Akira was on the show. Now, who is that, Gio?
She's an adult film actress. The Adam Carolla Show doesn't really have a lot of adult film performers, not active ones on. Usually it's more retired people Adam's known from previous radio shows and things. So having her on was kind of unusual. She's a great guest, a lot of fun. She really makes the podcast circuit. She co-hosts the podcast, I think, with David Cho. I think it was DVDA. She's done tons of stuff, and she came on. She was a lot of fun. She talked about being a dominatrix and how she kind of just like stumbled into the industry. And I mostly want to play this clip because there's some fun reenactments between Adam and Brian. It's Adam Carolla Show 1308, Asa Akira, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop, April of 2014. Check out this fun little chunk of Asa giving her backstory and Adam and Brian having some fun with it.
Whereas a lot of the white guys are like, ass is my favorite hole. So,
I think on my license plate frame.
Why wasn't that the title of your book?
Yeah.
It'll be the next one.
They'll get, God willing, when the great Dr. Martin Luther King's vision comes true, they will come to that place where ass is their hole and where they're getting beaten by a rider's crop and running around with a bit in their mouth. They just have not advanced. You got to get to a certain station in life. No, there's a couple things. I've said this many times. If you want to go be dominated, you got to be the boss man. I feel like it's the boss man who comes in there. He's in charge of 200 people, and then at night he comes and sees you, and now it's your turn to dominate him.
Generally,
You're getting your ass kicked all day doing roofing jobs, you don't want to go in and get your ass kicked again or pay someone to kick your ass. You're paying somebody to rub your balls.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's the opposite. You're paying for the opposite of what you have.
I agree.
Yeah. I feel like, as I said, many times when it comes to eating pussies, Squeak from my black guy from my football team over at LA Valley College said, I don't eat anything that gets up and walks away when I'm done. He was very poetic. Yeah. So my theory holds true with the dominatrix.
For sure.
Mostly just white guys and probably pretty well to do, right?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of businessmen, bosses, like you said, a lot of Hasidic Jewish people.
Ooh.
A lot. But I wasn't their type.
Ah.
They're not into me. Like, they like the blondies and stuff.
Ooh, yeah. No, that is their fucking kryptonite. The Jews, you show them a blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, also, it's not cheating if she's not Jewish, right? I think for them, that's what it is.
Yeah. Whatever they're looking.
If you're not Jewish, you're not even human.
There's a part where you want to work a super naughty. There's a part of sex that I never really quite. I mean, I understand it, but it doesn't hold a big allure for me, which is my plan was always just have sex with the best looking person that would let me have sex with them. That was always my plan. Whereas there's a lot of guys that need a lot of other stuff baked in. And I never understood that part where it's I need to be humiliated or you needed to be humiliated or I needed to do shit, not because it felt good to me, but because it felt bad to you. Like all these other layers, I never needed. I just figured just fucking find someone who's good looking, see if they'll hold still and let you have sex on them.
I also think it's like kind of a different era now. Like now that kids are growing up with porn on the internet, you know, they've been watching porn since like they were eight. You know, like no, anal is no big deal to them.
I just got him the ViewMaster disc with anal. I mean, I'm old school, but I'm new school too. I'm progressive. Right. You know what I mean? What? Don't mix it up with the Grand Canyon one, or maybe you should.
It's a gigantic hole.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of spitting and smacking and all that stuff. So a year or so of that. And what was it? What was your average call like, your average John?
It varied so much. I mean, some of them were not even submissive, really. Like, a lot of guys would just come in to role play and jerk off. Because at the dungeon, there's absolutely no sex. The furthest we can go, like, we can touch them if we're beating them. Or if they're, like, sucking on our toes or something. But we cannot give them hand jobs, nothing like that. It's
sure.
Totally...
Such prudes.
Yeah. No, really,
pride.
Though. Like, strip clubs are way more hookery than a dungeon.
I feel like the dungeon floor should be sort of like the one in a birdcage, where there's the grill that everyone walks on, and then underneath it's a sports section from USA Today. Like, I don't feel like I feel good in that dungeon floor with the toe sucking, you know, and a lot of beating off going on.
Well, if you're not into it, you wouldn't even be there. So
fair point.
Self-selecting sample.
But seriously, the carpet. Is there carpet in the dungeon?
There's no carpet. It's really cold. It smells like rubbing alcohol. It has a weird energy to it for sure. Like, it doesn't feel like, you don't walk in like, ooh, this is a nice cozy place.
Where are they beating off?
In front of me.
Uh-huh. Now, let me tell you this.
Where to go is what he's wondering.
Yeah.
I guess it was a while ago. I guess it went into their hand. Now that I'm thinking of it.
Not all of it.
No, I mean, there's definitely DNA everywhere.
Yeah. But, and in terms of your proximity when they're beating off, where are you? Because I'd be behind them because I've seen sperm go every which way but loose.
I don't think I cared much about it.
You didn't?
I don't remember thinking about it that much.
You weren't wearing like a hazmat suit or anything?
No. And then, I mean, it wasn't like everyone came. A lot of guys would come high on coke. So they would just book like 6 hour sessions and just never come, but like kind of be touching their dicks the whole time, you know.
How tantric.
It is,
sure, like, yeah. Now was that a good thing, like when you knew the guy was beaked up? You're like, on one hand he's beaked up, on the other hand no flying jizz.
Well,
tonight
for me, I hate coke, and like I when I was a dominatrix, it was definitely like a drug phase of my life. Mm-hmm. Like I was partying, I should say, but I never liked coke, and people on coke are really annoying to me.
Mm-hmm.
So like I never really enjoyed it, but I did have this one guy who smoked crack. And I never did it with him until this one time, and it was
You smoked crack with him.
And it was like the most amazing feeling I've ever felt in my life.
That's fucking great, isn't it?
But then I came down so hard and I never did it again because it was just too horrible.
So most of these guys, and you see a lot of the same guys, and they would ask for you. And would they just show up in their business attire? They got a locker room over there at the dungeon? And then what do you see? Like the other guy snapping with the towel. Hey, Bert, looking good?
See you out there.
Someone's been working out. Yeah.
No, it's not like that. Like, there's a locker room, but it's only for the girls. The guys, if they're doing any dressing and undressing, which they do, because some of them like to wear leather or like to be naked or go up in a sex swing or whatever, because we would fuck them with strap-ons. Naturally.
Yeah, let's focus on that.
But I work the night shift, so a lot of guys, it was like a lot of... it was like
you don't get that
crew.
Lunch crowd in there.
Yeah, and there is a lunch crowd. So I didn't see them, though.
So did you have your own dungeon?
No.
There's just the dungeon.
She was just starting out.
Yeah. It was called the Nutcracker Suite, and they've actually shut down since because someone left a guy hanging by his ankles, and I guess they forgot about him.
That could happen.
And he almost died, had to call the ambulance and everything. He didn't die, but I mean, that's...
Was he pissed or was he really
Mrs.
happy?
Peterson,
he's fine. Line, I think,
there's a thrombosis of his forehead.
Oh my God, what happened? Was it a car accident?
No.
He was walking down the street and mugged? Was there a mugging? No, attempted assault?
No. I feel like this could go on for days. I'm just going to do what they... I'm going to flip over all the cards.
Just don't tell me he was working out. I told him just be careful on that treadmill.
He's burning some calories.
I knew it.
I can tell you. I don't know. He may have tried to do a crunchy while he was inverted. I'm not saying he wasn't working out.
He was doing some crazy exercise. He was upside down?
Well, he was being violently cornholed by a small Asian woman with a strap on, and then she'd forgotten about him.
What kind of a gym is this?
Either the best or the worst, depending on how you want to look at it.
Yeah, I don't know. Crunch. I don't know if he was ultimately happy or upset or what. I mean, I'm sure ultimately upset, right?
Now, you can't leave your Johns hanging. Can I say this? If I was beating off, you know what it's like, Allison, when you're doing therapy and they're kind of getting in that wind up mode.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're right in the middle of talking about how much you hate your stepdad, and they're like, okay, well, these are all good thoughts that we've got, and you can kind of tell they're
a lot going on.
Felt like we've got a lot out. There's a lot to work with. Like what they're saying is, I'll see you next week. Like we're rolling it up. If I was trying to beat off and I had a little Coke buzz and you were kind of going, well, we've done a lot of cornholing.
You've been bad, but you'll be bad again.
You'll be bad again. I'd be like, bitch, you got to shut up. I'm this fucking close. Well, I know we're wrapping this up.
We had a system which was 10 or 15 minutes before the session ended. There was an intercom and the general manager of the place, which was like this Harley Davidson dude, would be like, beep. All right, 15.
Dawson comes over the intercom.
But usually that's actually where they start jerking off.
Sure.
Oh. I mean, some guys jerk off the whole time, like kind of.
No,
I know. Half-ass jerking off.
It's that when you're jogging and you hit a street light and you're running in place, you're just kind of staying warm.
They're doing that for like 45 minutes.
Right, right.
And then the 15-minute
mark,
and
they start
going for it.
But when the bruiser comes on the blower and tells you it's, you know.
Did they ever want you to do things that you weren't comfortable with?
For sure, definitely. And they would be like, "All the other girls do it,"
like
but
what?
That was a trick. Just mainly hand jobs. I don't think they would have ever tried to go for more. Especially like the submissive guys, they don't actually want to fuck because for that, like for the same price, you could just go on Craigslist and get a hooker.
Mm-hmm.
Like they part of like the not getting laid is I think part of like the thrill for them.
So
like they can obtain. They
want you to get really specific. Like, you know, my mom's name is Mildred.
Oh, yeah.
So
I mean,
you got to work that
totally,
in.
Totally. There's a lot of that. Like, there was a guy with a dentist fetish. I had a lot of guys with like micro penis.
They had micro penis. Uh-huh.
They literally had micro penis. Like the. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a disease or syndrome or what, but
condition.
It's worse.
A condition.
Oh yeah. Hey,
condition.
Sorry.
Sorry. No offense. but they would like to be humiliated about their small penises. That was a really common one. Golden shower. Some guys like to get shit on. I draw the line there.
Well, for me, I need 24 hours notice. You know what I mean?
That's
like
what
you
I
want
say
me to shit
anal
on
sex.
You. Yeah, same with anal. Like I need a heads up, and then with a cancellation, you got to pay too. Cause, you know.
Yeah, there's a
because someone's got to pay for all that fiber.
Right, right. So now hold on a second. We just sort of glossed over the part where there was a swing and there was
glossed
a strap
over.
On and a butt.
Yeah,
butt fucking.
That was probably my favorite thing, the butt fucking. Because for me, I'm actually in sex. I've come to discover I don't really like being dominant that much.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I really love doing is like wearing a strap on and fucking a guy. It's such a power trip. Like, it's, no, it's.
Where'd you
it's
go to
crazy,
finishing
like,
school? First, you learn to walk with this book on your head. Then we get the strap on out. I would find it to be a position of power. Well, you know who's in charge.
Sure.
And by the way, he's paying you by the hour to be anally raped.
Yeah.
With this piece of plastic.
Yeah.
Do you usually
rape.
Do like you have your strap on and do you keep in one of those huge blue barber things, that, you know, where they have like the blue water floating there? Because I wouldn't want you just going out.
Germicide.
Well, I wouldn't want you just coming back into the room with a strap on because I'd be like, I saw a guy limping out of here earlier and I could be the same.
Yeah. like,
oh, they
sharing.
Bring, they bring their own
strap-on buddies.
Do they have their own strap-on?
A lot of times they would bring in their own. We also provided them. I didn't have my own. But, I have my own now.
But having your own strap-on is like when the guy shows up to the lanes with his own wrist brace, ball, and shoes. Like,
is that cool, or is that a loser move?
He's a pro.
Okay.
He knows the game well. It's like showing up with your own pool cue to be raped with.
Which I think is kind of embarrassing, but I think within a dungeon, it's not that embarrassing. Because, like, you're all in the same
ever boat. Ever have a guy showed up with something where you're like, there's no way that's going to fit in your asshole?
No. I've seen guys take really big things in their ass. Like, you know when you go to, like, a sex shop and there's, like, that one butt plug on the counter that you think is just for show?
You ring for service.
I know that.
Yeah.
Guys really use those. Girls don't. It's the guys. The guys are, like, total size queens about toys.
Uh-huh.
Wait, how big is this butt plug on the counter we're talking about?
I mean, I've seen ones like this.
I mean, no.
But listener, you're holding your arms.
No, there's like dildos that are
shape.
Like the length of my arm.
But,
like,
I mean,
guys are crazy.
But, I mean, you've seen, like, bowling pin size stuff.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Mm. Bigger than a bowling pin.
Mm.
And I think that's – it's interesting, though, because it's, like, as submissive as these men are, I think that's where, like, a little bit of the macho-ness comes in, like a little bit of the alpha male.
Right.
Like, I can take a bigger cock than you.
Yeah, sure.
The competitiveness does come in. So, and girls aren't like that. We're not like, I can take a bigger dick than you. Like,
well, speak for yourself.
Yeah, you guys are pragmatic that way. Now, most of these guys, don't answer for a second. Just hold the thought. But married or single, don't answer. I suspect a lot of these guys are married and nobody has any idea what they're up to. And then what a fucking burden it'd be if this is, you laugh all you want, but if this is your thing, like your drug of choice, oh my God, how much time you have to carve out every week for this shit. So married, single, straight, everyone's straight,
I think they're all straight, or else they would go see guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think anything you do with a woman is straight,
mm-hmm.
or not gay.
All right,
maybe not totally straight, but definitely not gay.
Yeah,
I mean, even if I'm fucking you with a strap on, like, you're not gay.
No,
like, you just go for.
It's hard to make an argument for straight at that point, at that moment, like that exact moment. I'd wait till the thing was out of my asshole, then I'd start my dissertation about how straight I am.
What if that was your thing, though? The dissertation on how straight you are while someone's fucking you with this strap on.
Oh, I know.
At that moment.
I'd make the Smuckers argument. You know how secure I am in my sexuality? Let me tell you how secure I am. There's a small Asian woman with a huge strap on right now that is penetrating me as I speak to you, ladies and gentlemen. Now, would this be the actions of a gay man who was trying to pretend he was straight? I don't think so.
I kind of agree with that, though.
Thank you.
I mean, I know you're joking, but
I'm not joking.
There's kind of,
I'm simply,
like,
repeating my rap.
Like, how there's nothing more you couldn't be any more confident in your sexuality than knowing you're straight and getting fucked in your ass. Mm. I mean,
that's true.
Know.
That's true.
So, but. To answer your question, married or single, I don't know. I never asked them. I guess, I mean, I would imagine a lot of them are married.
You had to have a guy fall in love with you, though.
Never.
Never?
At the dungeon, no.
Never any feelings?
Oh.
I mean, there had to be some guy walked in there, just looked like 28-year-old John Hamm, and you were like, what is this guy doing in here? And you must have been thinking, like, wow, okay.
You know, never young guys.
Never.
Never young guys.
Because young guys.
I've never
just
had a young guy come in.
Yeah, because they're not running the Fortune 500 company and need to feel the sting of the writer's crop.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're younger and so they can get this kinky shit in their relationships, whereas the older guys are married to women who are like, hell no.
True. That's very, very, very true. I think the newer generations are much more open to this weird shit. And I think it's because of internet porn.
What do you think the oldest dude you saw in there was?
Oh, my God. Like 80?
Wow.
Old. I remember one in particular. Like, he was just – he liked to, like, lick my heels.
Uh-huh.
The heels of my shoes.
Uh-huh.
And he would jerk off. Yeah.
While he was licking the heels of your shoes.
Yeah.
It's weird. And then you look around and you think, who amongst us?
Oh,
I'm looking at you, Doc.
I'm telling you right now, there's someone in here into it.
Oh, really?
Someone in here, I bet, gets fucked in their ass with a strap on. Uh-huh. I bet. I would bet money on it. You'd be surprised. And like once I've put
I would that, pleasantly, but I would be surprised.
And once I've put that out there that uh-huh. I've done it before, you'd be shocked at how many people have come up to me like, hey, have you really done that? Like, would you do it to me? And guys you would never think are into that.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So
the guy, 80 years old, mm-hmm. licking. God bless him, though, you know? He's yeah. out there still living his life. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Doing his thing.
He knows what color his parachute is.
That's right. I don't know, you know, if we could all say that at age 80, we had the strength to go up to the dungeon and lick some heels while we beat off.
We should be so lucky.
We should all be so lucky.
It sounds really exhausting, actually. I hope at 80 I'm like chilling on a sofa.
Now, licking your heels, does that mean he's down on the floor?
Yeah, he was like on the floor sitting like this.
I know I'm
like
sort of obsessed with this floor thing, but in the spankatorium, as I know it, laying on the floor just doesn't seem like an option to me.
Yeah, but they had boners, so they weren't like thinking like that. You know what I mean? Like,
true.
No, like even I feel this way about myself is like even when I'm on a porn set, like I'll be like, I don't do this. I don't do that. I don't want to put my bare foot in the grass, like blah, blah, blah. But once I'm fucking like I'm like sucking cum off the floor.
Yeah.
Like the floor, same floor that I didn't want to put my bare foot on a second ago.
Yeah.
You know, so I think once you're like in a boner state of mind, I think
love that Billy
you're not
Joel
thinking
song.
About you're just not thinking about like the germ factor.
Yeah. You know? I know. It's a little switch.
Yeah. So they're all in boner mode.
I just think, you know, sexually, to me it's kind of my monkey brains thing, which is like some people eat monkey brains, they like monkey brains, and then for those of you of us who don't, it sounds bizarre, and it also one of these things where someone goes, "Well, you got to try it," you know, and I go, "I don't have to try it. I'm not interested." They have pulled pork sandwiches, do they not? They're good enough for me. I'll be fine as long as I have pizza and hot dogs, Chicago style. I'll be good for the rest of my life. I'm never going to try that. And
sometimes
they go,
you just know.
I know, and I feel like I know, and. So then when you think the way you think, well, everyone else thinks the way you think, too. There could be nobody else who's out there. But you're saying there's a fair amount of dudes possibly under this roof.
Definitely.
More than possibly,
under
I think.
This roof, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's at least one.
Really?
That at least wants to try.
Well, who do you think it is?
I'm going to check Fondalier off that list because that is... But hazardous duty.
It's not.
If you're going to pull up behind him with a strap on, you do it at your own.
It's not gay, though.
That's on you.
I mean, like, you guys have prostate. It's
literally on you.
Yeah.
It would be more gay to want to fuck a dude in his ass than
you're
want
that'd
something
be more...
in your ass. Because you have
all right,
a prostate.
Hold on.
Like, scientifically.
Okay, I think we found some common ground here. You're saying it would be more gay if I was fucking a dude in the ass.
Yeah.
Okay. You know
Wait,
what?
Do you really agree with that, though?
It'd be more gay if I was fucking a dude in the ass.
Yeah.
It's hard to get gayer than fucking a dude in the ass.
Yeah, having someone fuck you in the ass.
Well, but this is a strap with a strap on?
Yeah.
Or not?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Now,
well,
non-strap
anything with a dude
on.
Is gayer than anything with a girl. The gayest thing of all is sucking a dude's dick. That's the gayest of gay.
You see... That the,
even for women, yeah.
The peak of Mount Gay,
of Mount
the
Gay.
Summit of Mount
yes.
Gay,
no.
is sucking cock?
Nope.
What?
Doing it while being penetrated at the same time.
Okay, well now
yeah,
you're just splitting hairs.
If you want to put fucking sprinkles on my froyo, that's your business. But, but I'm just talking plain.
But like, okay, I can if a man puts his penis in your asshole, if you want that, I can understand it coming from like the point of view of like you have a prostate, it feels good, you're gonna come.
What
but
are
if
you
you're,
talking about?
Yeah.
But if you're,
I need to talk to my son. I got a boy. I need to fucking let him know the way the
but
wind's blowing around here.
She's disturbed by a child's voice right now, and we're all like, yeah, okay,
right. But if you're sucking a guy's dick, mm-hmm. that doesn't feel good to you. You're only doing the only reason that pleases you
mm-hmm.
is because you like sucking cock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there, it's not like you have a prostate in your mouth or a clit in the back of your throat.
So you're saying...
But if you have your penis in a guy's ass, presumably that feels good.
Yeah, so that's not as gay. Because
mm-hmm.
it's scientifically... I mean, if you close your eyes, it could be a girl's
ass. Logic.
Yeah, well, listen, you close your eyes, you could be fucking Christy Brinkley. I mean, like, there's a lot of closing your eyes. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking about Billy Joel. I just can't stop thinking about Billy Joel. Now, have you do anal in your movies, right?
Yeah.
And, stupid question. Have you ever dealt with a guy where you're like, oh, that's too much for me?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean...
I feel like in terms of being sent home from work...
Anal, take it or leave it.
That would be the greatest sent home from work day ever. Like, what's up? Too much hog. Just fucking too much hog between my legs. What happened? Well, I was doing an anal scene all planned out.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about that last night. How'd you run lines?
I ran lines.
Okay. There was only two lines.
We blocked it out.
Right.
Hit my marks.
Yeah.
Which was her asshole.
So you did everything right.
No.
What could the problem be?
You remembered
it wasn't.
Too much girth in the cock department.
Oh.
I just put my cock on that pallet jack I used to move it around in and just wheeled it back to the special van I have with the lift to get me my cock.
Buddy, I'm sorry. That's tough.
Yeah, it's rough.
Well, I should specify that's never happened.
Oh, it's never happened.
No, I guess I was lying just now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've definitely seen a dick and been like, that's too much. And then I went through with it and it worked out. Like, I'll try anything.
That's the warrior spirit.
Right. It's the Asian in me.
That's the Asian warrior spirit. That's why we need to drop
probably
those bombs.
Probably in that case not.
We could have divine wind.
Today's episode is brought to you by LifeLock. Identity theft may sound complicated, but in some cases, all a thief needs to carry out a shopping scam is your name, your mailing address, email address, and phone number. With your details, they start an online store account but add their own shipping info, and then they purchase items on the account without your knowledge, leaving you only with collections notices. So it's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day we put our information at risk on the internet, and in an instant, a cybercriminal could steal what's yours, sometimes even harm your finances, your credit, your reputation. But good thing there's LifeLock. LifeLock helps detect a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. And if they detect your information has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert, but you have access to a dedicated restoration specialist if you become a victim. It's real nice. It's LifeLock. Tell them, Gio.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can help protect what's yours with LifeLock by Norton. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com and use promo code Adam for 25% off.
And that was Asa Kira back in 2014, and a little improv with Adam and Brian as well. Don't want to leave him hanging. All right, let's get going with our next clip. And this is going to be a Rich Banks song. And we're going to hear from Bung Lu Su as well, a.k.a. Joe Coy. And we're going to stay in 2014 for this one.
It's Adam Carolla Show, 1357. Rhett Miller, not in this portion of this episode. We will play that a later date. And this portion is just Joe Coy, Allison Rosen, Brian Bishop, and Adam Carolla. July of 2014. It's the premiere of Cook For Me, one of my all-time favorite Rich Banks songs I forgot about. It's amazing. I listened to it like 10 times when I was cutting this. We get Bung Lu Su doing a retread, but maybe funnier version of the Floaters bit, less pressure. And then the main reason I cut this is a caller is calling about a domestic situation, and Adam plays the caller, and Joe Coy plays Catherine, and it gets quite contentious. Check it out.
We should hear a little Rich Banks song.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it other than Dickie Banks put another song together for us, so let's give it a listen.
You want to hear it right now?
Yeah,
it is,
okay.
This is actually, I was listening to it a little bit ago. This is actually a live track, which is, I think, a first from Rich Banks. Ooh. But here it is, a live track from Rich Banks.
All right. Sometimes when I'm on stage at night and I'm up here sweating my ass off, playing my songs, think about my lady. She's at home, just sitting there, man. Eating sushi, watching them Beverly Hills wives, or and what I wish while I'm up here, she was at home running in place. You know, maybe give me 10 push-ups. That's fair. Maybe she can maybe cook up a pot roast. 1, 2, 3, up! My stomach's empty. I'm getting hungry. Been on the road now. When I get home, cook for me.
It's alive.
Cook for me.
Bootleg.
I need a woman that'll, yes, she'll cook for me. Now, cook for me, baby. How about lasagna? Your Italian mama. Let Papa mind you cook for me. Start the stove, cook for me. Just put it in the oven. That's a box with fire. Cook for me.
Ah, the great Dickie Banks. Yeah, it's a little running joke with me and Bruce and Phoenix and Nils Lofgren. But I don't, Joe, when you were married,
yeah.
I as I've said,
not one cooked meal
for me. Everything is relative. I went to one of the hardest times I ever had was. Jimmy Kimmel had bid on some sort of charity event for one of those beachfront Mexico. There's where Jennifer Aniston hangs out with Courtney Cox on, you know, one of those places with the, you know, it's got servants. It's got,
yes.
You know, it's weird. It's like rich man, poor man, no doors on the place you're at. Like, those villas are just totally expansive. And for some reason, there's like iguanas walking around through the living room, but you're not bothered by them. But if it's at your house, you'd be screaming it and chasing them with a broom. But it's just what it is. And then there's like fresh fruit everywhere. And there's a guy who's making you drinks all the time. And you just sort of get up when you get up and ask whoever, you know, make you breakfast. And they got like screening rooms. And it's like, you know, it's the greatest thing ever. Yeah. It's one of those resort places that are on the beach. And everyone was staying like from Thursday to Sunday, but I had to cut out Saturday because I had to go to Addison, Texas and do two shows. And I was...
You got to go.
I got to go. I was fucking... Yeah, thank you. I was devastated.
Yeah.
And going to Addison, Texas and doing two shows is never a good time. But going from where Jennifer Aniston hangs out in Mexico to Addison, Texas to do two shows and stay at the Red Roof Inn across the street was fucking devastating. And the fact that everyone was like, I did that thing where I was packing my bag and I was going out and everyone sort of looked up like someone was getting a massage outside and someone else was drinking a daiquiri by the infinity pool and went like, oh, you're going now? Yes. Where Addison? Where's that?
Why?
Fuck. It was like the shittiest ride to an airport ever. And it was to fly back to L.A. to then go to Burbank.
Free blowjobs at 5.
Oh, yeah.
You're leaving, Adam?
Bottomless blowjobs.
Bottomless blowjobs over at the buffet blowjob table, Adam. Where are you going?
I got to get on. I'm going to Addison.
Oh, it's design your own blowjob.
Oh,
you
no.
know, it's Fluffer Friday.
Oh,
we just
no.
have random girls fluffing.
I'm going to Addison, Texas.
Are you sure?
Addison.
Oh.
So when I call my wife in between the two shows in Phoenix, and I talk to my boy, and I get the, she's getting a massage. I feel a rusty blade just going through my gullet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, somehow, there's another show to do. We all get it. There's some business before that.
Yes.
Nothing has changed, but somehow it ratcheted it up. The misery index got ratcheted up because someone is eating sushi or getting a massage and I'm doing this. And that, I don't know if you felt that way when you were married.
Yes. All the time.
Right.
Is it 'cause it's a reminder that we're not all in this together?
I don't know. I can't quite put my finger on it, but it's the same reason why every single guy who goes to every single bachelor party comes back, and when their wife goes, how was it? Ugh. Frank fucking booted in the taxi. Okay. The room was like, I had to sleep on a Murphy, like a pullout bed, and I'd sleep with Frank, and he still smelled like, and then he threw up again. It was a fucking disaster.
I feel like I know where you're going with this, and I feel better just hearing it.
Right, because if you went, fucking, I got my cock ground on all night. Like, it was awesome. Like, you don't do that.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, you play it down.
You play it down.
Yeah.
You play it down for a reason, because you always, every business trip, all that, you always play it down. And mm-hmm. for some reason...
Until she finds glitter on your face.
Right.
Then even then.
Right.
Oh, Frank.
Right.
Frank had glitter lotion.
Frank bombed
his
glitter.
He grabbed his wife's lotion for the trip, and yeah. Fucking Frank. Idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, I know his aftershave smells like vag juice, but they got it. I mean, they can get anything on the internet these days. I should tell him to switch. He'll be attacked by bees next time.
Vag juice?
I don't name the stuff. I just buy it on the internet. I guess Frank does. But that song we just heard was just sort of an homage to that. And I've always just joked around. But quietly serious, that when you were married and you were doing two shows and you were heading for Addison, Texas. St. Charles.
Illinois was the most depressing.
You wanted your wife home running in place or doing push-ups or
yeah.
something, right?
Yeah.
Or cleaning behind something that you never would have thought to clean behind?
Yes.
And missing you, right?
Yes. That.
Number. Right, by vacuuming.
Yes.
Right, showing her love yes. for you by vacuuming.
Clean the fridge.
No, but honestly, calling and going, oh, hey, no, I'm not at home. I'm out eating sushi versus I'm cleaning the fridge.
That
it's
makes
like
you
a
feel
totally
better.
Different...
Totally.
Totally different vibe, right?
Yeah. And then you make suggestions.
That's right.
Like, can you bring the dry cleaning into and maybe finish the laundry?
Well, then you're at least you're like, oh, I'm not missing out on anything at home.
Right. If I was at home right now, I'd be watching you clean a refrigerator.
Yeah.
Right. But now, instead, I wish I was eating sushi with you. That I think that's yeah. that's mm-hmm. that's what it does. All right.
St. Charles is where I wanted to kill myself.
Why?
I played that room. It's in the middle
that's
of nowhere.
That's the worst Sinatra Illinois. Song ever.
Yeah. I wanted to kill
Tony
myself.
Bennett, but thanks.
Yeah. Where I had to pretend to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just force myself to fall asleep. And I had to wake up an hour later and go, fuck, 8 more hours till showtime. just wanted to die, man.
Well, sounds lovely.
Get me out of here. It was a barn.
It
was literally a barn where I performed. It was the top part of the barn. And then the hotel was behind it. It was the worst gig ever.
Atlanta sort of barn, isn't it?
Yes.
The Atlanta... Funny Bone? What is...
Well, Punchline.
Punchline.
Yeah.
That's basically a barn, right?
Yeah, it's a barn.
Yeah, that's... yeah, that for me, that's where I started to kind of come undone. I'll tell you. Oh, because that was the one where Jim Brewer and I had this horrible feud. I've said before, I wasn't really a feud. It's just I made fun of him. I was making fun of Dag through Jim Brewer. And... Jim Brewer just went on a rampage, and he was explaining he was going to kill me and this, that, and the other. And I got to the club in Atlanta, and I was just doing one night. And I said, I was doing a Thursday night. And I said, who's coming in over the weekend? And the club owner said, Jim Brewer's playing this weekend. And I went, whew, what hotel's he staying at? So he's staying at your hotel. I said, oh, ship's in the night. Because I'm playing Thursday and he's playing Friday. And he's like, no, he's coming in a day early for press. He's coming tonight. And I was like, so I had to do my whole fucking act with Jim Brewer somewhere in the audience. Oh, although shit. I didn't know where he was. I just knew he was waiting
yeah.
for me. And then when I was done, we'd get to confront each other after the act. Like, it was like, ugh. You know that, imagine that feeling?
Yeah.
Yeah, and in a barn or whatever that place.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a barn, right?
At that point, it's a saloon.
Yeah, it's an A.
It's
yeah.
about to go down.
Yeah.
A yeah. lot of cowboy boots at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. There's only enough room for one semi-funny sheriff in this town.
Yeah. Doors open. So did you just do yeah. a super-duper long show that night?
Yeah, I filibustered. I did what Dane Cook does. I did a 19-hour show.
Joe, have you ever had any feud with our comic?
No.
None?
No.
Disagreements?
I just keep it to myself. No reason.
Yeah, this is
it's just dumb. It just goes nowhere.
I wasn't I wasn't trying to start a feud with him, but he was right to be pissed off at me.
What did you say?
I was
as I start the fight back up.
He showed up for Loveline one night, probably a little jet lag, maybe a little stoned, and maybe a little tired, and did not impress me as particularly funny. He just kind of hung out for one night. It happens.
Yeah.
Late night show. It can happen.
Yeah.
He had an off night. Then, like, 5 years later, Dag was on my radio show, and I was looking down the list of comics for Comedy Central's top 100 stand-up comedians, and Dag was 97, but Jim Brewer was 89. And I started making fun of Dag that Jim Brewer was funnier than he is. And Jim Brewer's not funny. And that was the problem. That's the problem that Jim Brewer had. See, I was beating Dag with a Jim Brewer stick.
Yeah.
But Jim didn't... Jim took much more offense to it than Dag did. And sort of rightfully
so. Well, yeah, because you're saying, hey, Dag, you're funny. Jim Brewer, you're not.
No, I was kind of saying you're not as funny as Jim Brewer, and Jim Brewer's not funny. So they were both not...
I stand corrected.
I was making fun of both of them.
Yeah.
But Jim Brewer... didn't take that in the spirit in which it was intended. Which was me making fun
insult.
Of... Yeah, it was a complete insult. But I was making fun... I was still trying to make fun of Dag.
Yeah. With Jim Brewer.
With Jim Brewer. Yeah. But I copped to it. I understood that.
Yeah.
You know.
How are you and Jim now?
I think we're good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He's on tomorrow's show.
Yeah. No, I'm good with him. And by the way, I've since heard him be very funny on Stern. On multiple occasions. So, you know, we got over it. It was just the...
Jim had an off night, because Jim's very funny.
He is, and he did. And that's what happened. But I had nothing else to compare it to. He just came on my show and wasn't that funny that one night. So I had... It's all I had in my Jim Brewer file.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
So, and he's a nice guy, and he's a funny guy. And we went and patched it up in that upstairs, weird upstairs part in the barn.
Yeah.
Where, like, the
it's
office
just where
is.
The light is.
Yeah.
The spotlight. It's a creepy place.
Yeah, right. But
their claim to fame is this is where Eddie Murphy practiced his set for Delirious.
Oh, really?
That's what they say, yeah.
I didn't even see
and
that.
They have a photo.
Well, how would Bung Lu Su pronounce Delirious?
Delirious.
Delirious.
Yes, very funny.
Eddie
Murphy, very funny.
Yeah, yes. It's good. Wears that cool outfit.
Red.
Yeah, tight.
Three different color red.
Yeah, three different color.
Cherry.
Uh-huh.
Cherry. Corvette.
Kovrick?
Corvette.
Corvette red.
Yeah, Corvette red.
Corvette red.
And a brud.
Blood?
Brud.
Brood?
Brud.
Bread?
Brud red. Like a gang.
Bread red?
Like the gang brud. The broads and the crips.
The broads?
Brads.
The crips and the bloods.
Yeah. Blood.
Blood.
Blood red. Blood red.
Okay, so.
Corvette red.
Corvette.
Yeah, and a cherry. And a cherry.
And cherry.
My favorite red.
Cherry red and
oh,
a blood.
So good.
I mean, just blood red.
Bread red, yes.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
And he's wearing, it's leather, right?
All leather, yes.
Hmm?
Three different shades of leather.
All weather, did
three
you say?
Different shades of weather.
Weather?
Feather.
Feather?
Feather.
Feather?
Feather, like a cow. Skin,
cow.
Like a cow skin.
Suede?
That, feather.
Leather?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So,
absolutely.
So he wore the tight different and the one he wore
three different shade of red.
Three different shade. Now there's
cherry and then a
Corvette.
A Chevrolet.
Chevrolet Corvette.
And Dana Brad.
Dana
Boo? Brad.
Dana Brad.
Brad. Brad.
Brad.
Like a crib. Opposite a crib.
Opposite of a crib.
Is a Brad.
Is Brad.
Brad.
Brad's
not
opposite
Brad,
of a crib.
You asshole.
Woo.
Brad.
Brad.
Like a I'm breeding.
Brad's the opposite of a crib.
If you stab, if you stab me, I'm breeding.
I don't
breeding
care who
Brad.
You... Oh, okay. Yes, you
breeding
bleed. Bleeding. Okay, I got you. But let me ask you this. Didn't he do another one where he wore like
purple.
A blue...
Purple.
Purple.
He had a purple.
He had a purple.
Purple with a praisery.
What?
Purple with a praisery.
He praised who?
Praisery wearer suit.
Raw. He had a
Raw was a purple and a praisery.
He wore in Raw.
Eddie Murphy in a Raw.
Raw.
Had a purple and a praisery.
Praise
print.
You?
River.
What river?
Who you don't understand anything I say.
You said that he praised you?
No. In a row. He wear purple.
In a row.
Purple. The color purple. Like Oprah Winfrey. The color purple.
The color purple.
The color purple.
I purple.
Purple praisery. Purple praise.
Praisely.
Purple praise.
Paisley.
Exactly.
Like you would say the country singer Brad Paisley.
Praisery.
Brad?
Praisery.
Paisley.
Praisery.
Right.
Purple.
So he wore, and this is in Raw.
Raw.
Okay. Delirious.
Red.
Three shades of red.
Three shades of red.
And three shades of red.
Yeah.
In Raw.
Yes.
One purple.
Purple, like an Oprah Winfrey.
Right. And a
red. Purple of praisery. Praisery.
Right.
A douchebag cowboy boot.
Right, and a weird cowboy boot.
Cowboy boot, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't wear the lineman boots. That's right.
Okay.
Tight. Not the outfit I'd want to do, you know, comedy in. I feel like you'd get a lot of ball sweat going. You know, you work up a lather up there on that stage.
No underwear when you wear that.
You can't.
You can't.
You can't. And if you do, you got to go
thong. That's skin on skin. That's your new skin.
Yeah.
You just put the leather on.
Are you surprised as I was that Bung Lu knew not only the movie The Color Purple, which at this point is almost 30 years old, but that Oprah Winfrey co-starred in it, a minor, a supporting role?
He likes big black
women.
You know, wow. Bung Lu loved
so
them.
Tasty. Should have known that.
Yeah.
I didn't know his deepest love went.
Well, you know, when he was trying out for the floaters, that was part of his whole thing.
Yes.
Get ready with that. I want to hear a little of that for a second. All right. Bung Lu?
Yes.
Adam
Carrera?
Carol, yeah. Yeah, now...
Here we go.
Yeah, there's... Well, you know... Hi. Hold on a second.
I'm Bung Lu Thu.
No, let's just listen to
Want
the floaters.
To
I want to hear a couple of the guys from the floaters.
So to the point, sorry about that.
Yeah. We'll find that for you.
Aquarius. And my name is Riley. Now I like a woman who loves her freedom. And I like a woman who can hold her own. Libra. And my name is Charles. Now I like a woman that's quiet. A woman who carries herself like Miss Universe. Leo. Now my name is Paul. See, I like all women of the world. Cancer. And my name is Larry. And I like a woman that loves everything and everybody.
That was nice.
Yeah. So, Bung, we're looking to get a little Asian and fusion
yeah, the crew
in the floaters.
The group really need that.
Yeah, yes. And we're just freestyle it a little bit. Yes, you know,
I'll try. I have nothing written down, so
no.
Maybe.
But just kind of start off with who you are, give your sign, your zodiac sign, obviously, and then talk about the ladies and the kind of ladies you'd like. Let's just try this.
All kinds. Hi. Bung Lu Thu, rooster. On the Chinese calendar.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Do you have a zodiac sign that's one of our months?
That is the Chinese calendar.
Right.
The rooster, which is the most positive one.
Right.
For a man.
Right.
Nicknamed the cock.
Understood.
Fighter.
Understood.
Cock
but
fighter.
We're playing a lot of amusement parks.
Ah, yes, like a Disney ramp.
Where? Disneyland.
Yes.
Right. And so audience,
yes.
Hearing the rooster and the cock and the Chinese calendar, you know what I mean? If you could just pick Sagittarius.
I don't know that. I've tried it before.
No, Sagittarius. We don't have a Sagittarius
Very
in the
tangy
group.
Sagittarius.
All right. Just pick something
Good with
from...
peanuts.
There's 12 to choose from.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Let's go.
All right.
Hey, my name's Bung Lu Thu. You can call me Bung. And for my wish is to have a black lady. Very black. So black you can't see her when she sleep. She wake up, I go, there you are. You like ninja. If she turn her hand over, I go, there, your hand.
Sure.
Then she put her hand back down. I don't see no more.
Sure, yeah.
Mmm. Big black woman, like an Oprah Winfrey.
Mmm, color purple.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Give her some of the cock, a.k.a. the rooster.
Ah, right.
Zodiac sign from China.
Yeah, okay.
Ha, ha. You ever get love from behind so fast, so quick, disappear like ninja? You don't even see me coming. Just disappear up in the roof. All you see is a cloud of smoke on top of your body. Whoosh, sound effect. Fuck you so fast, like a Jackie Chan.
A bungalow?
Not one dick, but two. Like nunchuck.
Yeah, hold on.
I come like this. Like a Bruce Lee.
Yeah. Bung. We're looking for a certain...
Rooster. Call certain me rooster, okay. Adam.
We're looking for a certain vibe, a certain attitude.
My penis go from 2 inches to a fully erect 3 inches.
We're looking
Can
for...
Can you take that, Brack ladies?
Humble brag.
Very girthy.
We're looking for... A little more of a mood than actually telling
people
what you're going to do to them sexually. You know what I'm
saying?
Sorry,
I take a very romantic turn on that one.
Right.
Let's try again.
Taking the black women from behind is not exactly what the Disney audience is going to be looking for. You know, then we go to Knott's Berry Farm, we go to Spillikin Corners.
Oh, okay.
You know, they got a nice stage there.
Rego Rand.
Where?
Rego Rand. Rego.
The museum?
The Reagan Museum?
Rego, no. Rego Rand. Rego Rand. San Diego? Rego Rand?
Lego.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lego.
Right.
There we go.
Right. It's a young audience.
Ah, very young.
All right. So here we go.
So PG-13.
This is a PG, probably.
Okay, cool. Hey, girl. They call me Mr. Su, a.k.a. Bang Lu. Can I Bang Lu all over you? Maybe your chest, too? Brack ladies, beware.
Yeah, maybe you should focus on all the ladies. Let's not threaten the black ladies.
Oh, beware, Brack Brady. Yeah. I really like, in my country, there's no Brack Brady.
Right.
In America, lots of Brack Brady.
Sure.
Especially at Magic Mountain.
Well,
lots of Bracks at the Magic Mountain.
Yeah.
Two for one day.
Well, no, they don't have that for black ladies. I think they just have a two for one day.
Do you like Kung Fu movie?
Yeah, sure.
I think every lady like a Kung Fu movie.
Well,
make love to you very fast.
You just
very quick. In and out. Then go right to work. You never see me ever again. Leave a bowl of rice right by the window. I'll climb right in. Take advantage of you at night time. Then leave again.
Right. Yeah. All right,
the rooster.
All right, Bung, we got all
AKA
your...
A.K.A. the cock.
We have all your information here.
You did a better job at implying the sexuality, but it was a little more threatening this time.
Yeah.
So sorry.
Coming in through
that.
The window. We got all your info here.
You ever wear flip-flop in the bed, like me?
No.
I wear flip-flop in bed.
Well, I don't see the sense in that.
Just in case I sleep and sigh. I have a flip-flop on.
You sleep what?
Sweep and stride.
Slip and slide?
Sweep and stride, yes.
Yeah, you put this...
Put a flip-flop on, I'm out the door.
Yeah.
Make love in shower.
Oh, with the flip-flops
with
on?
With the flip-flop on.
Yeah.
I will say this, it has a lot of foresight. Bung Lu Su, when it comes to lovemaking.
Wash your body with a golden shower.
No, Bung.
So good.
No, Bung.
So good.
No, Bung.
So good.
Oh, Bung. All right, DraftKings, baby. Smooth transition.
Buy you a necklace.
Mono.
A pearl necklace.
Understood.
Love you, Corora.
Love you, Bung. All right. Rhett Miller's out there from Old 97s. We will bring him in just 1 second. Real quick, phoners, just because they've been waiting. Matt, 29, Oregon.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
All right.
I've got a bit of a dilemma, hoping you could give me some advice.
Sure.
Basically, live in a two-bedroom apartment with my wife, and it looks like the mother-in-law is going to be forced to move in here imminently. And I was just wondering if maybe you had some, I'm sure you could come up with some ideas for how to handle the situation.
You know, your wife have a kid? What's going on here?
Well, we don't have a kid. No kids. Mm. The mother-in-law does have two large dogs.
Yeah.
But, you know,
let me tell you something about the people, the adults who have to move in. It's sort of like the people you have to lend money to, you'll never get paid back, because if you just spun a wheel and you put all your friends' names on it, it might land on Jimmy Kimmel or Joe Coy, in which case I'd get my fucking money back. But unfortunately, the only group that wants to borrow money are the people that don't have money.
Yeah.
So your chances of getting paid back are decreased significantly, because the only people that need it are the people that don't have it and won't get it. The people that need to live with you, it's not just a random spinning of the adult, I don't have a house wheel, and it could be, oh, wow, you got Mark Cuban's going to shack up with you. Like, this is awesome. You only get losers.
Yeah.
You get losers who are either have such incredibly annoying habits that their husbands or wives or whoever just fucking kicked them to the curb and couldn't take them anymore, or they're just so fucking destitute that at age 61, they could not fucking get it together to get a cleaning deposit for a fucking one-bedroom apartment. So whoever you're getting, I mean, I got... my friend Chris, we lived in a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood. His dad moved in with us for a little bit because he had to kill 30 days before he went to jail. He literally had an appointment for jail.
Fucking party time.
He had to stay on our sofa for 30 days before he went to jail. Yeah. See, Mark Cuban wouldn't have done that.
No.
So I'm just saying, it's a catch-22. It's not just anyone you're going to get in that spare bedroom.
It's the person you don't want.
And it's someone whose life definitely didn't work out, I think, Matt.
And people that move, that ask to move into someone's place, if you have a dog
or two,
you should never ask anybody if you can move in.
Now you're going to tell me your body is riddled with cancer and I feel horrible. Ah. But what is her reason for moving in with her daughter?
Well, she's about to run out of unemployment. Because she's been on it for 6 months. We've already been financially supporting her, sort of here and there with, you know, gas for her car or, unforeseen expenses, kind of.
What did what did she do? What does she do? What could she do?
Well, she sort of had a career in, senior, you know, like essentially like retirement home, kind of assisted living.
Yeah, she drove a van. I'll tell you what I'm going to do in about 3 years with my kids. I'm going to walk around with those chairs that are, you can turn into walking sticks, but then fold them out like for the people who watch golf and follow it around and I can flap it open. And I'm just going to walk around. I'm going to start at the Home Depot in Burbank, and I'm going to find some guy who's over 65 and wearing an orange vest, and I'm just going to flop the chair stick open. I'm going to say, sit down, Sonny, to tell you. Sir, tell us your story. Just tell him just what happened. What went wrong? Just give him, and just whatever you did, just listen, and we'll know not to do that, and then we'll move on in. How the fuck do these people get to 63 or 59 and be like, well, I have a checking account, but it's not, I mean, I guess you could call it active. Like, it's like you're fucking 60.
I deposit checks. I just can't write them.
What's going on?
Yeah.
What I needed.
I can't take cash out because I only have one form of ID. Right. It's such bullshit at my bank.
I'm 59. I just need some gas money.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah.
What happened? Look, how does this work? What's going on?
It's sad.
It's sad, but it could be cured with more judging. That's my point. I want to know what's up.
Why every time they're broke as shit, they always have animals, too?
Yeah.
You can't take care of yourself. Why did you take on the responsibility of two large animals?
No, I have 14 kids and 6 llamas, but no job.
I need corn for my llamas.
Mark Cuban has 1.5 kids and no llamas. You understand me?
Your kid-to-llama ratio needs to be adjusted.
That's right. Yes, go ahead, Matt.
I don't know. Like, it's just,
it's going to be disaster.
If she from, like, her last three or four jobs, like, it's been, and now she can't get more work because every reference she has basically fired her.
Why was she fired? What did she tell you was the reason she was fired?
She's just one of those people who seems like, from our descriptions, is a perpetual victim. Always somebody else's fault, you know? My boss was a dick, or so-and-so had it out for me.
Yeah, I love it when your boss has it out for you, because that's their whole plan. Hire you, spend a shitload of money training you, and then fire you. That's how you get rich.
I can't wait to get this guy.
So they make a ton of money as a company. You train people and then fire them. All right, Matt, don't let her move in. It's going to be a disaster.
It's going to be horrible. You think letting her move in is a disaster? Wait till she has to move out. You have to get the authorities.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, don't do it. I'm telling you.
All right, I'll barricade the door.
No, listen, you
good luck with your marriage when you don't.
I'm telling you, I would pitch it to my wife as I'm doing this for us. Like, we're going to argue about this. It's going to cause...
It's my mom. It's my mom. You just want me to put her out? I grew up with those dogs.
Cheryl Ann?
No.
What's her name, Matt?
Catherine.
Hold on. With a C or with a K?
with a K.
With a K?
Oh, with a C.
With a C.
C? Okay. Catherine.
What? Catherine with a fucking C.
Listen to me,
like,
baby.
It's with a K.
Catherine, listen to me.
What do you spell it with?
A C.
Yeah, then stop saying it like with a K.
I'm sorry.
It's not Catherine.
When I
it's
get
Catherine.
Angry, I put an extra emphasis on
yes,
the first
you do,
syllable
and I don't
of your
like
name,
it.
And I make it sound like a consonant instead of a vowel. So listen to me.
Where's my mom supposed to stay?
Oh, wait a minute.
They're
shit.
Both consonants.
They're both consonants. Shit. You really think about a C shouldn't be. It's so early.
You're right. And get B out of there, too.
Well, hey, come on. All right. Anyway, look. Stop it with the
Matt?
What?
Where the fuck is she supposed to go?
Listen, Catherine.
What?
She's supposed
to... So she's just going to be homeless? That's my fucking mother.
She's not going to be homeless.
Her boss had it out for her.
No, her boss did not have it out for her.
Her boss is a dick.
She said that about her last six bosses.
Yeah, and they all tried to fuck her.
Because she has issues with males.
No, it's because they're trying to fuck my mom. She's still hot for 63.
What she's doing is she's projecting this.
That's bullshit.
She projects that onto her bosses. She comes here.
Uh-huh.
She's going to start... We're already arguing, and she hasn't even moved in.
What I'm trying to say is, where is my mom supposed to go? I'm not going to put my mom on the fucking street,
Matt. I'll tell you what we're going to do.
Why don't you move?
Okay. Now listen.
Why don't you move? And let's see how easy it is to be homeless.
Listen to me, Catherine.
Talk.
I...
Fucking talk.
I'm going to pay for half her rent. We are going to pay for half her rent.
I'm not paying for shit.
She is going to pay for the other half of her rent.
She has no money,
Matt. She's
going
to get a one-bedroom apartment that is near enough to us that we could walk, but far enough away where she won't hear us.
You don't like my mother.
Hmm?
You don't like my mother.
I don't like what she brings out in you.
She's staying here with the dogs. Those are my childhood dogs.
Those are Rhodesian Ridgebacks, and they're not even medium-sized ones. They're large by Rhodesian Ridgeback standards.
Theodore
which are
and Richmond
big.
Are staying here.
What are their names?
Theodore and Richmond.
I thought you were going to go on a chipmunk route.
No.
All right. Average Rhodesian Ridgebacks are 111 pounds.
Yes.
These things tip the scale at 135.
Because my mom feeds them ribeyes.
The point is she can't afford ribeyes.
Well, if she stays
Rhodesian
here, we can afford it.
I appreciate...
Where the fuck is she supposed to go, Matt? It's my mother. I'm not going to sit her on the street. If it wasn't for my mother, you wouldn't have me. You wouldn't have me, you fucking asshole.
Listen, Catherine, you want to do that math. You know, if the earth didn't cool, then none of us would be here.
How about when your mom needed a place to stay? When she came here to visit us for one day?
My mom was claimed by commuter train in 1999, you whore. Don't you ever bring her name up again.
She deserved
it. Ever. Oh, my God.
She deserved it, you
fuck. Oh, my God. She was an angel. Your mother's a filthy whore.
Stick to the script.
She was an angel. My God. And that's right. I'm going to put emphasis on the K now. When I say Catherine, you take that back.
You fucking asshole. It's Catherine with a Z.
You take it back.
Fuck your mother.
My mother's in heaven right now.
I hate you, Matt.
I hate you.
Richmond and Theodore are going to stay here.
Who? With my are the Rhodesian Ridge Rats?
Yes. We're going to feed them ribeyes.
All right.
This has been a wonderful reenact.
That was good.
I like the alliteration with the ribeye, the Richmond, and the Rhodesian Ridgeback. And, yeah. You know, it was a lot of good stuff.
All right, Matt, answer your question.
Don't let her move in, right? All right. Jason wants to know if I'd ever consider making a movie like The Wonder Years, like a theatrical format. No, I have not. And one last one, and then...
I think it's where you would sort of, you know, modern-day Adam voice over child Adam going through horror things.
Hey, you want to know what's crazy? Mm. Wonder Years, Danica Michaela?
Mm-hmm. McKellar.
McKellar? My bad.
Mm-hmm.
She's really cool. She's, like, really smart.
Into math.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. I got to meet her. She came to my show. I was pretty fascinated. I was like, oh, my God. I know.
She bogarted all the math smarts for the chicks.
Yeah.
My girl's going to be retarded because she took all the math.
She took all the math.
She fucking squirreled all the math away. There's one woman who knows everything about math. 120%.
Yeah. All of it.
All of it.
My daughter's going to be trying to figure out the tip on a $10 bill. And Danica's got it. She's making rocket fuel in her basement. Yeah. She's all into it.
Brains.
Today's episode is brought to you by Geico, because Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? And we all know the answer. Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with the homeowner's, condo, or renter's coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. In fact, how easy is it, Gio?
Well, Chris, it's Geico easy.
It certainly is. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save. That clip from July of 2014, featuring Mr. Joe Coy.
Everybody Catherine. Sleeps on his performance, Catherine.
Yeah, it's good. I love whenever they do the reenactments. All right,
I love character work.
Me too. Now, last week we played a few of the drop origins. We played Gary's Young Money Cash Money drop origin, as well as Matt's Boom origin. Well, Sonny Corolla has a great drop that's been played for years, and it was when he went, I woke up in Phoenix this morning, and he was busting his dad's balls when he was in studio back in 2016. So let's listen to that.
It's Adam Carolla Show, 1883. Todd Lamb not in this portion. Sonny in studio from the top of the show. It's Sonny, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. Sonny's recounting some stuff they did, and then Adam goes over a trip to Disneyland with Natalia and the guide, and how Adam wasn't supposed to know the guide was there. They go over the classic, I woke up in Phoenix this morning. It's all in all really fun little chunk with Sonny that we haven't played in a long time. I don't think we've actually even played this one on Classics. And it's so funny how young he sounds, and it seems like it was just a couple of years ago, but it's, you know, 6 years ago. It's a really good classic clip. Adam Carolla Show, 1883.
Good day, Sonny Corolla.
Yeah.
All right. And Bald Brian?
It's just a waste of my time.
Oh, that's the moneymaker right there. Sonny is here today because I filled in for Dan Patrick. Dan Patrick does a sort of simulcast, does a radio show and a TV show, and they do it all at the same time. And he's in Rio.
How'd it go?
I think it went pretty good.
I'm asking Sonny.
Oh, Sonny, yeah,
it was
Sonny,
pretty
had a
good. We got there. We got there at like 5 a.m., which was pretty fun.
It was no like traffic.
No traffic at all.
No, Sonny, so I had this great conversation, which is, I have hypervigilance, and the last thing I have in my life in terms of like mountains to conquer is waking up absurdly early. I don't really care about race cars or volcanoes or any other. I have no fear really of anything, but I have a dread of the super early wake up call.
I think most people do.
I get it, but it's like at a certain point.
You might be able to master that.
I've done it so many times right. That it's just like, just get over it. It's going to be a day. It is what it is, and you move on. You know, there's a.
I think if you're wired that way, it's just you're miserable when it happens.
Well.
And most people, I think, are wired.
I have an insane wiring, which is I set my alarm for 4:20.
Did
Yeah. And
I did. I'm on sort of podcast standard time, which is like, I go to bed at 12, 12:30, 1-ish, like, and wake up at 8:30-ish or 9-ish, like, just sort of whenever-ish. And I was now waking up at 4:20, and I did not need my alarm. I woke up at 4, looked at the clock once or twice, woke up at 4:05, 4:08. Like, I'm so insane that if my normal wake-up time is 9 and my alarm's set for 4:20, I will wake up at 4:14 and just get out of bed. Just on my own. There won't be, any rustling or anything. It's just, time to get up. Yep. I know it before I go to bed. I dread it, but I know it. And I just go to bed. And then there's a second component, which is attempting to get into bed by like 10:30. Because you're getting up at 4:20.
Yeah, you're going against nature.
And there's that thing where it's like, I got a cocktail in my hand. I'm watching the Olympics. you got to knock yourself down a little at that point. But it's like, I'm just sitting there watching the Olympics. And it's that 10:14, 10:17. Mm-hmm. You just tick, 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 tick. And you're getting to this Mason-Dixon line of under 6 hours. Mm-hmm. You're never going to get six because you're not going to pass out when you hit the bed. But you have this sort of psychological thing where, look, if the clock is set for 4:20, if I can get in by 10:20, I'll be okay. Yeah.
Okay, now exactly 6 hours.
Now it's like 10:26, and I'm still enjoying watching Phelps swimming in a pool. And
5 hours and 45 minutes is good.
Yeah. I go, and let me say this. There is a big difference between making a flight where you're just going to pass out again because you're just going to Boston and hosting a 3-hour program.
That's not yours.
That's not yours. Thank you. With ins and outs and who are the Danettes and what's everyone's name.
Because if someone said, show up and do your show at 5 a.m., like, all right, well, I guess I can do. Show up and do someone else's show that has the beats and has to hit this, hit that.
Yes, and Al Guido, the president of the 49ers, is calling in.
Teddy DiBartolo?
Al Guido.
Oh, is that? Oh, I didn't know.
New president.
Oh, okay, that's why I don't know his name.
Yeah, he's newly minted.
You're making fun of DiBartolo's heritage.
Al
Guido.
Tony Guido's calling in. He's calling in. He invited us to come out to Monday Night Football, opening night, Sunday night, whatever it is with the Rams. He's calling. But
Rams versus Niners.
There's six different names, people calling in. You got part outs and breaks and throw it to this and go to that. And then, Dan Patrick's going to call in from Rio, right, at whatever. And you're just sitting there. This, by the way, this part of your brain that you need for these 3 hours to do this sort of traffic copping, joke telling, interviewing, hard out, cut to break.
It's in the pool of Phelps.
it's the first part that goes when you get into the sleep deprivation. But the one thing, Gina Grad here. Good
Hello.
Day, the one thing you do get repetition. And at that point, I think you become like a drunken pilot.
Okay.
It's just still better flying the plane than the sober guy who hasn't flown for 10,000 hours. Still better.
Yeah. Rather have you.
Still better to be Denzel Washington in flight than just have me fly the plane. And that's sort of how I am. And I think I did a pretty good job.
Was it all sports talk?
No, that's the beauty of it. The bad and the good and the bad news is if it's a big sports day and there's lots going on, blah, blah, you have to kind of get on it. If it's just, first episode of Hard Knocks training camp and Phelps wins another medal, wasn't that much going on. So we're able to just sort of float around. Hit the headlines and float around from topic to topic. Sonny.
How was the set, Sonny? Because I have like this elaborate set with the basketball hoop and is this the same show where the guys like play hoops during the break and stuff?
No, but it's a nice looking set.
Okay,
yeah.
I've seen that.
It looks good.
Sonny would have told you.
Sonny, you had your alarm set for, 4:30?
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened?
It didn't go off.
I'm trying to think what that, anyway, I woke.
I might have like maybe gone off because I might have said it earlier.
And then you hit it and went back.
I might have set it to like 3:30 by accident or something. Got up and like hit it or something.
It's fun because maybe did the PM instead of the AM. Either way, super apologetic. She woke up and said sorry, sorry, sorry. And then about 8 seconds later, so I'm like with the t-shirt on, just stumbling toward the front door. And I was like, you're allowed to eat breakfast.
And
we don't have to get
out
this second. Yeah, but I like the trooper in you. But I realize Sonny's a boy, and I'll show you a picture, actually, I will, when Gary, because when we're done with, you know, we drove out, we left about 10 minutes to 5, rolled into Patrick's place.
We left at like 4:45 about.
You left for work earlier than I did today.
Yes, I know, insane. And when we were done, we started driving home, back, not home, but here, and his eyelids started getting a little bit heavy. And then when, by the time we got to the other shop, I said, Sonny, you just go find yourself a sofa. Find yourself a sofa and pass out.
He looks like a chalk outline.
He really does. He looks like he was thrown from a building.
It's my pillow.
like a gay Iranian. Just tossed from the top of a building, landed on the sofa. I've never seen anyone that looked like they passed out while they were jogging and crashed into a sofa.
It looks like he's motorboating the sofa.
There is you got amcurl.com. It's pretty funny picture. I had to take a picture saying, but the real comedy. Well, two real pieces of comedy here. One is. I made this mistake as the countdown was coming, and again that thing where you have to wake up early and it's just that tick 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 tick. And again, I honestly don't mind the meet Mike August in the lobby at 5:10 because I'm literally just going to pass out. Like I won't even remember the Uber ride to the airport or whatever.
The bathroom.
But this is like, where's my buck slip with my notes on Phelps and you know and
you're
so
driving
on, and driving and the whole nine yards. I said, oh well. Now I've always said the only thing worse than you freezing to death in a snowbank is watching somebody luxuriate in a hot tub. That's it. Like, what could make this experience worse? You're freezing in a snowbank. You're looking at somebody drinking hot toddies in a hot tub. That now it's worse.
Best.
So I called. I was like, oh, it's 10:05. Oh, crap. I haven't said goodnight to Natalia. Natalia is at Disneyland, and she's staying in the hotel.
Sure.
The Disney, because it's, you know, it's 41 miles from the house. Yeah. Of course, you got to stay overnight. You couldn't go, but you know, it's not like I go out and do a show in Irvine and then turn around. I sleep on stage when we do a show in Irvine.
You can't be expected halfway back and try again in the morning.
Yeah, I'll stay at a fair to Midland Motel on the way back. And then, so she's staying there. And so she gets on the phone. I call her before I go to bed. And she does the, oh, Dad, I said, did you have a good time? Oh, yeah. Get ready with the cash register. And she goes, She goes, hey, Daddy, we got the same guide we got last time. And then she like paused, like, oh, sorry, Mommy.
Let's play a little
closer to the tartan vest.
Mommy's making the throat slashing.
then she did the one where she said, oh, we just got back to our room. We just had a big meal. We're going to get a movie now. Oh, we're all cozy. Maybe we'll get room service. And then I went, yeah, I'm getting up at 4 and heading for LAX. And she's like, ha! She's like, wow.
The derisive laugh.
And she did she didn't use the word, but quite a departure from the life I'm leading right now. You two suckers back there.
We're comically at odds.
You know what the silver lining is? She could have been like, how's he saying? It's fine, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
She had fun. She's grateful.
She had a good time, and she had a big laugh. I mean, because when you really think about that, I'm at the hotel, and we're going to get some s'mores, and then we're going to watch a movie. And 4 a.m. to you is somewhere in the middle of your sleep cycle.
Towards the end.
Can't even even imagine. Well, and for me, you, for her, I mean. The middle. But so I had that going for me. I got that.
They wake up at 10.
Yeah, they wake up at 10.
Go check out it. You know,
Billy.
Just half of their day.
It was. Sonny's already getting it. Philly cheesesteak had a very tactical move had been removed from the house via Lynette, going back to original owner Rob, because realizing Phil would not only sleep on my head all night and wake me up 5 times, but then when we both left at 4:30 in the morning, where was Phil going to go? And plus, I'm here now. Where I'm not even close to back home yet. So Phil would be outside or in a cage or chewing his own tail off. So he went to Rob's and then for some reason decided to sleep in the bathtub. I wish they'd do it. I think it was a cooler
classic
thing.
Phil.
But the great
classic Phil.
The great moment was Sonny walked into the shop, went to go pass out on the sofa, did the pass out that you saw, and then I doubled back 10 minutes later and saw Phil just raping Sonny. Just stormed him, dived on him, pawed him, smacking him, I mean, up on his hind feet. He weighs more than you, right, Sonny?
Yeah, he weighs more than me by like 35 pounds.
And he's taller than you when he gets on his back.
You didn't stand a chance.
Yeah.
So into the mic there, Sonny. But were you just sleeping on the sofa and he just jumped on you?
Well, I kind of, like, I heard him panting, so I just woke up. And so then I just, like, get up because I wasn't in that position before. And then he just, like, but, you know, he gets excited. He
knows how he wants it.
Like, he's got huge paws. He weighs 100 pounds, but he has a massive tongue. His tongue is too big for his mouth. He's the Gene Simmons of Labrador.
It's an inch bigger than his mouth.
It just keeps going. It'll just hang out the side, whatever, and it'll just slap you up with it. It'll just pound on you. So poor Sonny got abruptly
manhandled
by Philly Cheesesteak. So we put him away in the other office, and then Sonny was able to splay out for, what, got an hour and 20 in?
Yeah, until I got 7 hours and 20 minutes.
Feeling good about yourself now?
Like, in what way?
Well, I mean, feeling rested?
Oh, yeah.
Now, what is it about you, Sonny, that makes you want to get up and go do these things with Daddy where no one else wants to?
I just like the fact that I get an excuse to wake up at 4 a.m. and do something.
Oh.
So it's like an adventure for you.
An adventure is like going to the Amazon jungle and trying to avoid getting a disease from a mosquito.
All right, that's an adventure. Well, then what would you call it?
Fun.
Quenching his starvation for attention.
Did you have fun?
Yeah. Well, my iPad's almost dead, but.
Okay, but you had a good time. You like seeing, and you like going with Daddy to work or seeing Daddy work.
Yeah.
Is it cool to see what he does for a living, Sonny, or is it just like, whatever?
I mean,
because this is a pretty cool job.
Like, what parts of it? Like, racing-wise, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's almost like he's playing a sport.
It's almost like a sport.
Almost like
just
a sport.
Just like he has a machine doing all the work for him.
Mm-hmm. I'm like a real athlete.
Yeah, I'm like a real athlete, right. But she's not talking about racing. She's talking about going and hosting.
But, I don't know, on the Dan Patrick Show, it was kind of funny. It was kind of funny, like, to you do stand-up, but I kind of gotten used to it.
Yeah, okay.
Like,
Bloom's off the road.
I woke up in Phoenix this morning.
He's doing impressions.
He's lat.
You remember? I went to go see The Martian, and you said it.
No, I went to.
I woke up in Phoenix.
I went to go see The Martian. We went to
at
go
Phil
see.
Phil Rosenthal's
at
house.
At Phil Rosenthal's house, and it was. One of those, there was standing room only, and so you have to go all the way down like a groundling, old school Shakespeare, and lay down on the super shag padded nappy carpet with the big pillows at the very front. You don't sit upright. You lay down on your back. And
like the stoners used to watch 2001.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Back in the day.
And this is after one of our epic Phoenix runs. We're doing two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, and then just came home and then had a whatever day and then ended up at Phil's and had a couple glasses of red wine. And somewhere in The Martian, somewhere around hour four, I just passed out. I was like, I don't do that very often, but between the red wine and the sleep deprivation, I passed out. And then I got an assful from Sonny and Company, like, hey, old man, where are you? And I just went, I woke up in Phoenix this morning. That's what he heard.
I'd like to make a request. Is it possible to squeeze in an hour a week where Sonny and Alex do a show together about you?
I'd be fine with that,
That'd
Sonny.
Be pretty damn funny.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
That'd be fine.
All right. You good?
Hey, before Sonny leaves, can I ask a question to the Corollas in the room, both Sonny and Adam? Sonny, I'm having a little girl soon. My wife is going to have our first baby in about a month or so. And I've always thought about this, but now that I actually have people here who grew up in Southern California, I'm of two minds, speaking of Disneyland. Do we not take our little girl to Disneyland very often, like make it a special thing, like once maybe she's 8 or 9 or 10? Or do we do the SoCal thing and take them all the time being once a year or however often you go, once a month?
I haven't gone since I was like 7.
Okay, and you're how old are you now?
I'm 10.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So do you think it's more special then if you go less frequently, or is it cooler to be able to go all the time?
I mean, personally, myself, I rather go to the Natural History Museum instead of Disneyland.
Okay.
This was
me too.
All right. Best boy in the world.
What's your take? So. Should I, is it more special the more you space it out, or every, is it take advantage of the fact that you're here and go all the time?
I really think
maybe like once. Wait, so you like for you often is like once a year, right?
Well, let's put it this way. Someone from Texas or New York, that might be a big deal for them.
I don't think it's a problem. Once a year is fine. I wouldn't look at that as often.
Okay.
But if it starts, if anything, it's my, you know, don't drive a turbo Porsche as your daily driver because it's just your car. And people do that. People hit me, you know, they'll go to me, you got money, you like cars, why don't you get something really nice, something really trick, and something really whatever, because at a certain point, I'm just getting up, and it's 4:45, and we're going.
Come on, Daddy. You're with your little Jaguar.
We're going to the Dan Patrick show.
That's
so little. You know, it's like I got a coffee between my legs and my buck slips and a piece of toast, and it's just, and I'm miserable, and I'm trying to back out of the driveway, and it's like, it's just one of those, it just is your car.
Yeah, fast food falls over as you take a turn, and
save it.
Longer in that cool car.
Save it for, and enjoy it.
Yeah, a birthday or Christmas.
That's what I'm saying. All right, Sonny. What do you got? 3 basketball games tonight?
2.
All right. Have you guys ever beaten the girls' team yet?
We go against 13-year-old girls, and we haven't won, but for the regular, because these are just like practice games, but for the regular season, my team's undefeated.
Ooh. All right.
You're 10 and they're 13?
Yeah.
They're 12.
Mm-hmm. They develop faster. 12.
Yeah. All right. You feeling good, Sonny?
Which way?
I just feel good about yourself.
You asked me that earlier.
Okay, good. Take your soda. Okay. Now, would you go back with me to Dan's show, Mr. Dan's show?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Get your cans off. Go find your nanny and go home.
Good to see you, Sonny.
Leave Phil. I'll take Phil with me. I'm scared he's going to eat stuff.
All right. He's not here, but...
He's at the other shop. And
it was just a waste of my time.
Oh! Yeah! He does his out.
Yeah. All right.
Sonny and I were breaking down the NBA season next year. He thinks the Warriors are going to lose 3 games.
Yeah.
79-3!
He's pretty damn confident.
I was going
to
say.
And that's the origin of Sonny's I Woke Up in Phoenix This Morning drop. And it's one of my favorites, although this morning, Gio, Adam, and I woke up in Indianapolis. So, yeah, we're on the road still doing it. All right. Well, that will do it for part one of today's episode of Corolla Classic. Stick around, part two coming up next. Today's episode is brought to you by Geico, because Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? And we all know the answer. Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with the homeowner's, condo, or renter's coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. In fact, how easy is it, Gio?
Well, Chris, it's Geico easy.
It certainly is. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save.